Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. So, kings, depending on your vernacular, we back. So, we might as well jump off into this, get my neck and my wrist in it, like Vince Carter. Justin Fields slander, bro. Of mini camps, 707s, bro. Is this what we're doing? You know, this what we had in the offseason? You know, like, I get it. Like, there's certain reporters, and they were honest. You know, guys like Hogan Johns and Kevin Fishbane. They said, hey, we just got to report this because we're media members. Cool, we get it. You got to do your job. And they're not trying to throw extra sauce and spin on it, right? They putting their wrist into it, you know. And they just write what they write, and they say, hey, it's no big deal. It's mini camp, bro. These dudes learning a new offense. Defense is usually ahead of the offense. And then certain people, man, and he's going to get the trash too the week later, that are like spicing it up, man. That's trying to use this as some type of narrative to criticize Justin Fields. And that's not cool. That's not cool. Like, we see this every offseason. Joe Burrow struggled a practice last year before, and they went on to go to the Super Bowl. I ain't saying he's Joe Burrow. I'm saying chill. I didn't get too hyped when they were like, oh, Fields look crisp during training camp. I was like, okay, cool. This mini camp, man, short, bro. You know?
Some of them are taking it way too serious. Dan Weederer, once again, you are on our radar. And we have you in our crosshairs. The crazy thing about it is, it's like he's always had him in that North Cat. It's like they have it out for Justin Fields. Like, they don't want him to succeed for whatever reason. Now, you know, I probably know what the underlying tone is, but I'm not going to play that card. But again, you know, the same thing that we see with polls. It's just like, y'all just don't want them to succeed. And then again, as he did before previously with Ryan Poles, he comes back after he makes that assessment because, you know, Bear Nation ain't having it. You know what I'm saying? And they on his ass about it. So, and then he scales it back and say, everyone calm down. We're not saying it's the end of the world. But that's what you made it seem. As if he, oh my God, this is terrible. This is year two. But it's the first day in a new offense with everybody. You know, the only receiver he had from last year is Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet. That's it. Everyone else is new. And then you wonder why. Yeah, I mean, the balls are hitting the ground and he's learning this offense as he goes. You know what I'm saying? This is the first new offense, and this is the off season. This is not week one. So what the hell is the problem? That's why it's called practice, asshole. It's called practice for a reason.
Exactly.
But him, you know, Dan Weederer and, you know, Mike North and all these other cocksuckers out there, you know, they want to push a narrative. And when you get called out on it, then you want to try to scale it back and backtrack. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. You need to relax and yada, yada, yada. Like, man, come on now. Chill out. It ain't nothing we need to relax about. You need to relax on your reporting. And you really need to be honest with yourself and keep it a buck. And, you know, if you have a personal vendetta, then have a personal vendetta. But do that in your own personal time. Report the goddamn news, man. That's it. If he had it wasn't a good day for Justin today, you know, still learning the offense, still some growing pains here with this new offense. And you leave it at that. You don't have to go in, oh, it's very alarming, nothing to be concerned about, but to raise alarm. What? What are you talking about?
A major work in progress and all. Come on.
Yeah, what's up with all that?
Come on, man. But they know what they're doing. I mean, the way these dudes are writers, right? So they know how to use words. Mm-hmm. They know how to use words Yeah, and basically, as a writer, you use words to paint a picture. Mm-hmm. Just like a guy uses a paintbrush to paint, you use words to paint your narrative, to paint a picture, to tell a story, whatever you want to do. And you can't tell me that, you know, you meant one thing. You're college educated. You know, mm-hmm. this is what you do. This is your living. So I don't want to hear no, you know, that's not what I meant. Let me walk this back. Let me moonwalk right quick and try to get out of the way of this because I see people disgusted by it or whatever. You know, come on, man. Like, just be real about it. If you're going to do it and you're going to say that, then say it and stand on it then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But stand on it. Don't try to moonwalk and backtrack at the end of the day when people start calling you out on it, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, like writing. Like, you know, all of us have been to college and stuff, right? I've written essays, and mm-hmm. wrote a thesis, right?
Yep.
The word alarm. What do you think about when you hear the word alarm, right? Like, this is what I'm talking about with words. Words matter. Alarm. You think of an alarm, like a fire alarm. Yep. So, yes,
panic.
You write. Yeah. You write and you use the word alarm. They know. They know. They know what they're saying when they say alarm. Yeah. Alarm bells are sounding. That's what goes off in your head. And that's what, and then you get this reaction on social media and YouTube and people writing these and saying these things and alarm. And I get it. I get it to a certain extent. You guys trying to get clicks. Dude. Like, you know, the boy Eric Lambert, you know, he like the Bears assign a fifth string cornerback, right? And somebody write an article. That shows that Ryan Poles don't care about Justin Fields because they signed a depth cornerback. You know, that I never heard of. The Bears don't care. Yeah. Man, people just need to chill the hell out, bro. Like, I don't know what the hell people need to do. People need to go on vacation, take a break, like, go Netflix and, like, binge watch some fucking Game of Thrones or something. Because, dude, I don't know what the hell's going on with our media, man. And it's starting to blend over. You're starting to see guys just, I don't know if it's people bored, because now we're back on the Cole Kmet thing, dude.
Yeah.
We wanted a couple weeks ago, and we're back.
This is what we was talking about when we say that Chicago, you know, they're known for eating their own. You know what I mean? They eat their young. And it's like for whatever reason, man, you get a cell or a pocket of people who don't want to see one guy succeed. For whatever reason, people got it out for Cole Kmet. I don't know why. You know what I mean? I have no idea. The dude's a young kid. He's 22 years old, bro.
Yeah, just turned 23.
You know what I mean? I mean, just compare the numbers, man. You know, and you want him to be this player. You want him to be that player. I think we mentioned this a long time ago during the season, actually. They want him to be like Kansas City's guy. You know
Travis
what I mean?
Kelce.
Like they want Travis Kelce. They want him to be like Travis Kelce, but people don't realize Travis Kelce, 33. Mm. Like he's a full 10, 11 years older than Kmet. Like, you know, what was Kelce doing at 22, 23? Tell me what those numbers look like.
Still at Cincinnati, probably.
He wasn't that great at that point in time. You see what I'm saying? It takes a time. It takes some time.
3-4 years.
Yeah, it takes some time as a tight end to kind of get used to the game of football in the NFL. And, you know, Cole Kmet, I think, is on the right track. 60 catches, 600 and some yards. I mean, come on, man. What else do you expect from the dude? Put up 90 and 1,400 or 1,300 yards? That's not reasonable. You got to be reasonable in your expectations. Then that way, you can really give a real view of what this team is going to look like going forward or what that player is going to look like. It's not some unreasonable expectation. And then there's a massive letdown if he doesn't reach, you know what I mean, those lofty goals or expectations.
And that's the killer, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, I think they see the immediate success that George Kittle had in the NFL, and they're looking at it. But, you know, every player is different. But they see the immediate success that George Kittle had when, you know, he came into the NFL. And then the crazy thing is that they're expecting that to be for Cole Kmet, because Cole Kmet was an All-American coming out of Notre Dame. There's an adjustment period, folks. And the crazy thing is when you're going from the college game to the NFL game, there is a learning curve and there's an adjustment period. And how can one adjust when he has a head coach that is incompetent at calling plays? How do you expect him to be better than what you know, he was in college when the people that be are supposed to be coaching him up can't coach. Let that sink in for a minute. That's like me, you know, you're a great fisherman, right? You're a great fisherman. And, you know, you're fishing off of the bank. And then I say, you know what? I'm the best fisherman in the world, and I can take you on my boat, and we can go catch bluefin tuna when all you've ever caught is catfish off the bank. It's a learning curve. And then I take you out there, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and I'm mad at you because you don't know what the hell you doing, but you a great fisherman. Get my point? It's not going to work. And you're not going to know what you're doing until you get people in place to teach you what you're supposed to do at this level. Because, again, fishing off the bank, oh, you a hell of a fisherman off the from the bank. But out there in the middle of that water catching them big boys, that's a totally different game. And when you're out there, yeah, Cole Kmet was beast in that Notre Dame. You know, but he's playing against children. He's a man amongst boys. Now he's a man amongst men. And he out here playing with the big boys. Well, if no one's teaching him how to position his body, how to use his body, how to guard defenders off with his body, boxing out and everything else, using his arms, using his length, how to block, how to shade block, how to sit down in a zone, how to not run through a zone, how to protect the ball when he's running. If they're not teaching that, man, and if they're not coaching that, then what do you expect him to do? And gradually, let me tell you, his numbers ain't nothing slouch at either. 600 and some odd yards? And a minuscule offense.
Yeah, horrible.
He's a 21-year-old kid, too. I mean, and you got to, like you said, you got to look at the offense. You got to look at the play callers. And then you look around the league, and, you know, if you want to compare him to George Kittle, or you want to compare him to Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce, or you know, the what's the dude from the Raiders?
Waller.
Yeah, Darren Waller. You want to compare him to those guys, man? Those are the top guys in the league. You know what I mean? So you need to compare him to other guys like Mike Gesicki. What is he? Well, how does he look stacked up against Gerald Everett? How does he look stacked up against Cook, Eric Ebron, Ferkser? You know what I mean? Hunter Henry, all these other tight ends. His numbers are better than or compared to most of them. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to isolate the top three tight ends in the league and then say, well, he ain't on a level.
Yes, he is.
Come on, dog.
And I'll tell you this. Just this past year, George Kittle, 71 receptions for 910 yards, six touchdowns.
Yeah.
What was George Kittle, numbers this year?
That's a good comp for him. Yeah, what he's a wide.
What was Cole Kmet's numbers this year?
61 and like 600. He didn't have any touchdowns, but nobody scored touchdowns in Matt Nagy's offense.
So 600 yards receiving. So what you're telling me is that he's 300 yards away from one of the top tight ends in the game, and he's only 21.
Yeah.
That's something to build on. And in a very awful offense. Dude, they ain't even open the offense to use him as a weapon like they will this year.
It's a Chicago thing because people outside of Chicago don't view Cole Kmet the way some Bear fans view him. Most people view him like, because they look at his numbers. Let's say you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you played against him. He played good in that game. You think he's a D. He's like, man, that dude's 21. He's a good tight end. But the Bears fans are like, oh, no, I didn't want him in a draft. So I'm going to just hate on him until, you know, he does bad or he's no longer with the team, and then I'll rejoice. Like this is the thing. I hate misinformation, right? So the argument that people were making was that, and I couldn't take it. I eventually had to post everything. I usually try to just explain the you and the why. They said he couldn't get separation, right? They said he can't separate. So I went to Next Gen Stats and looked up separation. He had 3.3 yards of separation. You know who was right above him that was a tight end? Travis Kelce had 3.3 yards of separation. Pat Freiermuth, 3.3. Zach Ertz, 3.2. Tyler Higbee, who plays in a similar offense, who's a wide tight end in the Rams offense, 3.1. George Kittle, 3.1. Mark Andrews, who's a U tight end, 3.1. David Njoku, who if you said, hey, the Bears got David Njoku, everyone would lose their minds. Cole Komet is better than David Njoku and produced more than David Njoku and gets more separation there. Also, O.J. Howard, I don't even have him listed. That's another name. And he's a Bama guy, right? But people hear that name and they're like, oh, yeah, I want that guy. It's all about name recognition. And then another thing people said, they said that he was unathletic. This is also untrue, right? So I went to analytics. People like to use analytical stuff, right? So I went to RAS, which is called, what is it, relative athletic score. It's a possible 10 is a perfect. Cole Komet scored an 8.92 out of 10. For his thing, they have him as his explosion grade is elite. It says it right there on the rack. Elite. This man is 6'7", has a 40-inch vertical leap. Dude runs a 4.7. The first thing he did was his three cone drill, which was considered poor. But you know who also has the same kind of traits? They ran a slow three cone drill, whatever three cone drill.
Gronkowski.
Gronkowski, DK Metcalf.
Yep.
So it really doesn't matter, man. So the people were saying he's unathletic and he can't get separation, and both are untrue. And then people start moving the goalposts. Well, he's getting separation because people are biting on play fakes. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about, dude?
Who's biting on play fakes for the Bears? Like,
like the Bears offense works. Now the Bears offense works. Now the Bears offense working is getting Cole Komet open.
Now Matt Nagy was drawing up the right plays. Now, right.
Right.
Dicing up threes.
Come on, man.
You can't appease the rest.
You know, all I got to do is look at Pat Freiermuth, right? He was looked at as a guy who's got a ton of potential. He's going to work in Pittsburgh. This is what everybody is saying, right? Pundits, everybody says it. 60 catches, 497 yards last year. All right, but he got some touchdowns.
Yeah. Played better off.
8.3 yards per catch.
Yeah.
That's less than Cole Komet in yards, catches, and average. You know what I mean? And he's older than Komet. He's 24, Komet's 22. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? That's all you got to look at. When you look at these things, Bears fans, man, stop being so – I mean, just you got to be realistic when it comes to this stuff, man. You got to be realistic. And it's obvious. It's obvious. You know – there's a lot of Bears fans, but a lot of them haven't played football. If they don't get that concept, if they don't understand that, they've never really played football, they don't really understand the game. And it's like, if you're going to have these opinions, at least study up on it. At least exactly. Research it. You know what I mean? I'll respect it a little bit more, maybe. I won't agree with it, of course, but at least I'll respect that, hey, you're trying to learn something. But when you just throw stuff out there, man, it don't make
that's
sense.
That's what I don't like.
I, you know, I can't respect that.
That's what I don't like. I don't like that part. Like, there's certain things that I don't understand. Like, I don't have the deepest understanding about the offensive line. My offensive line understanding is rudimentary, but I study it. I try to understand because I never played offensive line. I played wide receiver.
Right.
I don't know what all these blocks are. I didn't have to do that shit. I was tall and skinny. They can jump and run.
Run and don't get hit, right?
That's what I did. I'm tall and got long arms. I, like, well, I ain't got no business in there. So I don't understand it.
Wait, the coach ain't never seen you on no crack back block down there on the line. Let the nose guard come through and you ear hole them. They used to send me all the time. That's probably why I ain't got no brain cells left. Called it a wham play. I'd have ended plenty of careers off that, man. I go low. They think I'm going high. I go low.
No, you always go. Receivers always go low.
Oh, man. I take ankles clean out. You be done for the season fucking with me.
Receivers always, especially if you don't throw a pick.
Oh, man.
You're going to be a straight up tackle.
Tell me about it. Like, shit, they too damn big for me to be trying to take out. Like, I'm taking ankles out, boy. You better have your cleats laced up, cause I'm hitting you low. I'm straight up windmilling you from the low all the way down. You doing a full cartwheel.
Hey, like, remember when they did Jakeem Grant like that? Kickoff dudes are crazy, bro.
Man,
yeah, they are.
Kickoff, crazy. Dude.
That's why they changed it, because Cass was going brain dead, man.
Yeah, Cass was getting, but dude, CTE. We be doing that as kids.
A wedge buster?
I
God damn.
Kids, dude. Yep. Yeah. I used to get lit up too. You get caught, dude, full speed. Boom.
Yeah, not paying attention. Like, man, gotta keep your head on the swivel, man.
Got you. Pop one, you keep, gotta keep
you gotta move.
See his stars.
Yeah.
I look for people like that, man. If I can get you off guard and lay you out.
Hey, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna hit you hard too, just so you know not to do it again.
Boom. You be talking. You can't even hear what they saying. You be like,
all the aggression out.
You just see a limp body flying through the air.
Oh, you see
like somebody threw a dummy. Right.
Down there like, huh?
Crazy. But yeah, man, I don't get the Cole Kmet slander. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cash, y'all need to fall back off the young boy Cole, man. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, he's going into year three now. So with him going into year three, you know, this should, I hate when people say this is a make or break year. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because again, we got him up to 4 years, right, and we can use that fourth year option on him. So
when he just turned 23, my bad. I think it said 22. He just turned 23.
Okay. So he's still a baby. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's still a baby. So, you know, everybody was, I want to keep James Daniels because James Daniels sucked. All right. He wasn't good. He wasn't good at his job. I'm just being honest.
He was averaging.
That offensive line, they all sucked equally, okay? All of them sucked equally. That's why no one's there anymore. We got a new center. We got a new left guard. You know, right guard. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Is white hair. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? We got our rookie tackles. That's now bookend tackles, and we going to roll with that. Because you don't want to know why? You can coach them up, okay? Perfect example Roy made on Twitter. Perfect example. We had a coaching staff that took Charles Leno, and who was really a C player, an average player, you know, at offensive tackle, and made him a serviceable left tackle. Made him a serviceable left tackle. So if you can do this with Charles Leno, who is who he is, you know, and is unathletic. You know, we got big Larry Borum running a 4.9 40.
Mm-hmm.
We got big Tevin Jenkins, who's a mountain of a man with a nasty mean streak. You mean to tell me that you can't take these two? Because really, both of those tackles will be first round picks in this year's draft. Okay. So kill the noise about we need to get a tackle. What crack are you smoking? No, we don't. We have them. Coach them.
Yeah.
We have them. Coach them. All right? They're young. They're in their second year. This is a beautiful thing, man. And, if you know, I'm pretty sure Ryan Poles is looking at this like, why the hell would I go and get tackles? We got tackles. No, we'll get depth, guys. And that's what you're seeing. We'll go get depth. Now, if it also happens that a first-round guard falls in the draft, and this is the thing about guards, folks. You can find that shit 6th, 7th, 8th round. You can find it 5th round, 4th round. Interior linemen are a dime a dozen in the draft. It's not about – you really can't be too skillful putting a hat on a hat, all right? Mm-hmm. It's all about coaching unless you're Quentin Nelson. And you just pancaking every damn body that they put in front of you. That's the only time you go up in the first round and go get a cat like that. Okay? But those that are in the second round, third round, look, I don't want to hear that, oh, we got to go. Like, there is no offensive interior lineman in this draft that is a must-have. All right?
I feel the same way.
You can feel that in free agency. You can feel that in camp. Listen, folks, the roster ain't filled out in one damn day. It's not going to happen. All right? You got the draft. And then there's going to be cuts after the draft. And then there's going to be cuts before pre-camp, mini camp. And then there's going to be cuts during camp. And then there's going to be a whole shitload of cuts after camp when people finalize their roster, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's plenty of time to find an interior offensive lineman that's starting caliber. And there are going to be guys that's going to be let go due to contract negotiations and reasons that teams are going to just say, you know, we're going to outright release you.
Right.
Chill the fuck out. All right? Let this thing play out, okay? Because, again, we're building for sustained success.
That's it.
Meaning 5, 6, 7, 8 year runs. We're not building this just to go 12-4, 12-5, 13-4 this damn season and then be ass like the Lions the next 5, 6, 7 years.
And people, you know how you build sustained success? More so than even the talent that you accumulate, right? Leadership and people that are held accountable, guys who are high character players, guys who are, you know, put in the work. Those are the things that build sustained success, because then you have younger players and your drafted players coming into an environment where people are held accountable and people work. And they put in the work, they put in the necessary, you know what I mean, things to make themselves better players. That's how you sustain success. It's not just the talent. The talent is a big portion of it. Dan ain't saying that talent is irrelevant. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you know, the character and the you know, that is very, very huge when it comes to sustaining success over a long period of time. The culture that you create in the locker room, on the practice field, all of that is huge.
Yeah, because when you come in and you're a young kid and you come in and all these guys working, Justin Fields working, David Montgomery, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, all these guys are working. Roquan Smith, working. You got to work.
Yeah.
These are the leaders. How you gonna let them outwork you? How you gonna let the vets outwork you?
And if you ain't working, it's gonna be seen by everybody in that locker room.
Yeah,
and the coaches.
Yeah, so it's a good thing. But like, yeah, man, I wanted to steal one of the. Who's it? Who sent you this? I can't. Let me look it up. I want to give credit where credit is due. I know I bookmarked. Oh, here it is. It's yo, what's good, Bears, at New Regime. And he, because I was telling people, they need to look up the difference between a Y and a U tight end. So he found the clip. I don't know where he found it from, but he sent it to me. He said, the blocking a Y tight end has to be a bigger guy, 6'4 to 6'6, usually 255 to 265, Cole Kmet size. These guys are like smaller tackles. They're strong and explosive players who get off the ball quickly and are explosive blockers. As offensive linemen, they have to be good bend and excellent balance. Speed is not a top trait for these players, but they can't be a snail either. If you could find a player in the 4.8 to 5 area, Cole Kmet's a 4.7, that can be ideal. These inline tight ends are often used to ask a pass block, so long arms and the ability to anchor at the point is preferred. So these guys are expected to block. And if you guys don't understand what system we've changed to, we changed to the Shanahan wide zone scheme version of the West Coast offense. You are expected to block. Wide receivers are expected to block. Tight ends are expected to block. If you look at these guys' schemes, there's not a whole bunch of Evan Ingrams running around in that system. George Kittle, Tyler Higbee, CJ Uzama. These are big tight ends that can block and can catch. We're no longer running spread. People still talking like we're running spread. Matt Nagy is gone. We're not running spread. The tight ends in this system have to block. A U tight end, which Eberflus says the Bears should acquire, whether or not Jester Horstead plays it or not. When writing up the traits of a receiving tight end, clubs will have varied definitions depending on exactly what they're looking for. Sometimes they call them F or move tight end. These players are big wide receivers. That's basically what they want. Evan Ingram is a big wide receiver, right? He's not a tight end. He's not going to inline and block. He's going to get blown off the ball, dude. So speed, body control, and hands are what the top list of these traits. Their size can be 6'3 to 6'5 range with speed, preferably in the 4.6 to 4.65 range. This player has good intelligence with the ability to read coverage and make route adjustments. They have to be able to get out of his cuts quickly, get separation, and have bursts going after the ball. They also have to have excellent run after the skill, catch skills. Receiving tight ends are not asked to block as much, but they do have to be willing blockers with the ability to break down the blocking space. This is what I'm talking about. The second thing, the U tight end, are the skills they're trying to apply to Cole Kmet, who is a Y tight end. This is what I'm talking about. You got to be careful where you get your information from. Mm-hmm. Cole Kmet is not a U tight end. He is a Y tight end. Stop trying to take the U specific skill set and apply it to a Y. Mm-hmm. So when you say that, either it's two things with me. Either you don't know what the hell you're talking about, right? Which is fine, go study up, because I don't know everything, go study up. Or two, you know what you're doing, but you're using disinformation to create a narrative. which is even worse.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Facts.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Hey, I got you a round of applause on that. Man. That was true facts. True facts.
So shout out to the, because I try to explain it the best I can, but shout out to at new, what did he say? Regime is here. At What's Good Bears for finding that, because I tried to explain it the best I can, and obviously that was like an NFL scout explaining it, you know, and writing that, and people need to see that.
Yeah, you know, they don't understand though, man, and really, instead of just arguing, I just would have been like, look, your wide tight end is more like your big body, you know what I'm saying? Your big body tight end, he's going to more so be on the line of scrimmage. She's going to be the one that's really going to be asked to block majority of the time. Your U tight end is more like a bonus wide receiver, but just in a bigger body. Okay. Mm-hmm. A U tight end is probably your speed tight end. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The smaller tight end who you can either line him up at fullback. You can line him up at tight end. You can flank him out. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to do with your U tight end. Your Y tight end is your big body. That's an additional offensive tackle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what it is. A big body, not a speedster, not a burner, somebody who can get you to 5 to 10 yards. He's really the guy that you're going to really just say, you know what, go about 5 yards and post up. I'll put it up for you.
Yeah, run that little crossing route. Eat up the
exactly.
middle of the field.
Eat up everything in the middle.
All you got to do is look at, okay, I bring his name up even though he's, you know, a murderer.
I know you.
Your boy,
Aaron Hernandez.
Gronk was the Y. Aaron was the U.
Exactly.
Easy. Easy. Gronk was the Y. Aaron was the U. And that's why. And again, that's where this whole two tight end set shit came from. Because the Patriots was eating motherfuckers alive with it. They couldn't stop it.
Exactly. They couldn't stop it.
Exactly.
They couldn't stop it.
And I'm like, get both people. And if people try to make it pitted against each other, I'm like, no, you need a U and a Y. That's because Justin Fields everything. I want a Y, like, what, that, like, Cole Kmet that can get you 60 catches. And I want a U that can get me 50, 60 catches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a U like Aaron Hernandez since. I haven't seen a U like that since.
No, he was special, bro.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah,
he was special.
He was.
Damn, the you know, how people may feel about him or whatever, because, you know, he was banging.
Yeah, but we just talking about his skills on the
his
football
skill
field.
Set.
You know what I mean?
I haven't seen anything like that since.
What he did, yeah, it don't take away from that. You know what I mean? But his skills on the football field, he was a different type of dude on the football field.
He was the truth. You know, say what you want. You don't like him, whatever. You couldn't take away from his damn that boy could ball.
Yeah, him and ball.
There's even some people that call an F tight end. They talk about F tight ends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And an F tight end. What people need to realize about the F tight end is that they move everywhere on the football field. They go from the slot, they go to wide receiver sometimes, they go to fullback.
Yep.
Now, an F tight end, Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Look at where he lines up on the football field. He's in the backfield.
Yeah. He's at wide.
He's at Y at U. He's all over the field.
Yeah.
And wide receiver in the slot, he's all over the field.
And those guys are even rarer. It's rare to find it. Yeah, somebody was like, yeah, the Cole Kmet didn't split out wide enough a lot. And I'm like, that's not his role.
That's not his role.
You know, I'm just like.
And those type of tight ends really didn't come around until, you remember Jimmy Graham was beefing with New Orleans because New Orleans was lining him up as wide receiver, and Jimmy Graham was like, okay, well, pay me like that then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's why you don't have that. That's why they're rare. You know what I mean? Because, you can move your pieces around, your chess pieces on the board, but you don't want to get too crazy and exotic because guys will catch on and be like, hey, well, pay me my money then.
Yeah.
That's why Debo is having a problem.
Because they want to pay him like a running back.
You don't want to get beat up like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that cuts his money down too. You know, if you look at Debo's stats, he was catching six passes per game. When they start playing him at running back, he went down to 3.
Yep.
Now you tell me his numbers are slipping.
And still put up 1,700 yards.
He still put up 1,700 yards, but his numbers over the course of time is going to slip. Mm-hmm. If he plays another season like that, he knows his money is going
to
be impacted.
That's why he wants to leave.
That's why he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, running back, he's gonna get beat up. You know, you can play for a longer time than a wide receiver.
You get blasted. 30s,
you get blasted. So that's it. I was just gonna say that Jimmy Graham was probably the first one.
And the Saints was dead wrong. They should have. They you know because most of the time when they had Jimmy Graham out there, they was lining him up at wide receiver on the inside.
Yeah, he was running like
and let him run up the scene.
Yeah,
And he was killing people. Killing people.
Yeah, people, I don't know if people, some people not old enough to remember Jimmy Graham.
They he was a monster.
Before he went to Seattle. Yeah, Green Bay and us, we got the washed up version.
Yeah,
he was a beast, bro.
He was a beast. Yeah, man. So it's funny. And the thing is, like I said, if you don't know, that's fine. I don't know everything, right? I never plan to know, but rudimentary, basic elements of football. If you're a content creator, you should know. Study it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't have to explain to you the difference between these two tight ends and you out here writing articles and making podcasts and stuff, dude. It's just
and if somebody explains it to you, like we broke this situation down, accept it and move on. Don't embrace argue it.
Don't try to go against the grain, man. It ain't gonna work.
It ain't gonna work.
Because the game is
three
the game.
Football minds here with years of football knowledge.
Dude, come like on, I man. Remember. Dude, like I remember my cousin telling me what a flanker was when I was like 10. You know, and I'm like, people don't know this? Like, I mean, I was I'm a Bama fan, right? One of my favorite players in Alabama of all time. And this is how you know I'm a Bama fan. This is old. David Palmer, the Deuce.
Yep. David Palmer.
He was a flanker. And I was just like, man, why is he moving around so much?
He go to running back, quarterback, wide receiver.
He's like, oh, he's a flanker.
He was everywhere.
He's playing flanker. He's playing wide. He's in the backfield. Yeah. And he was like, explain this to me. He's a chess piece. And I was like, oh, I'm like 11. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I started, what's this guy? And they explaining this to me at a 10-year-old kid. And I'm like, you guys haven't studied this stuff?
Yeah. Oh, Palmer. He was the truth, too.
Yeah, he was.
I bet you there's some people that don't even know what an H-back is.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a halfback? No. H-back doesn't stand for halfback. Okay.
No. Yeah, that's the crazy part, man. But, you know, hey, that's why we're here, to educate the dumb.
That's why we're here, man.
To educate the dumb. You know what I'm saying? and not just the dumb, but the uneducated. We're here to educate the fools and the uneducated. Now, the fool is the one that sit there. There's a difference, right? Yeah, there's dumb, there's the fool, and then there's the uneducated, right? Now, the dumb is the one who swear he knows all and knows nothing and will argue on his nothingness. That's the dumb. The fool will sit up here and will argue his point until he's proven wrong. And then he will, okay, you got it. You know what I'm saying? And then the uneducated is, hey, I don't know, but can you guys help me understand? See, there's three categories that we deal with on Twitter on a daily basis. The dumb, the fool, and the uneducated. So that, you know, so that I just had to break it down into three categories. But that's why the kings are here. That's why we're here, to educate you all and to get you up on, you know, your football knowledge. Because, man, we don't want you to go out here and people be questioning your fanhood. OK.
Right.
And they be like, man, this guy don't know jack shit about football, man. What the fuck is he talking about? And then you be embarrassing the whole Bears fan base, man. We don't need y'all out here like that. We don't. I promise you, if you listen to us long enough, you'll know your shit. I promise you.
We tell you, and a lot of stuff, when I read stuff and I'm looking up stuff, I'll post it.
Yeah.
You know, like I was going through this whole thing, and I'm still doing it while I studied the Shanahan Kubiak, because Kubiak don't get enough credit, too, for his influence on that offense, the current Shanahan offense. I post it. If I read an article, I'll post it, because I actually want to know, like, what the hell I'm talking about. I don't want to just be on here just talking. Right? So I'm going to look it up. Like, how the hell did this offense start? Who started it? Why? What was the basis of it? You know, let me look at this guy. What did he say about it? You know, that's what we try to do, man. So you're just not out here, people just writing stuff and saying stuff, and then they, you know, you around looking like a fool, dude. People are like, what the hell is this person talking about?
We out here bad, down bad, baby, down bad.
Down bad, man.
So, speaking of the Deebo trade, Deebo Samuel definitely wants to be traded, right? Another big wide receiver on the market. In all honesty, of course, you know, we toy around with it. You know what I'm saying? We tool around with it. We did it with DK. We're going to do it with Deebo, right? What would it take, you think, to pry Deebo from the likes of the 49ers? Because, again, whatever person that we, let's say, if we ever, and we're not going to say we're going to, we're just playing devil's advocate here. Let's say we do, you know, Ryan Poles and Flews is up there like, you know what? Yeah, let's get Justin Deebo. I mean, that would be fun as hell. Don't get me wrong. But again, we could get another version like that in Treylon Burks, who may fall to 39. Again, everybody's not going number one, folks.
Exactly.
Kill this noise about everybody's taking receivers. It's just going to be a run of like 20 receivers in the first round. That ain't happening, okay?
Or double digit. It ain't going to be double.
It ain't going to be double digits. You probably have five or six.
It's going to be maybe five or six, yeah.
You're going to have five or six by the time we pick that are going to be off the board. That means it's still going to be some quality wide receivers there.
Because all of a sudden, if you look at it, they I even seen a report talking about, I hope they do it too, Detroit possibly going with Kenny Pickett.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I hope they do.
Wow.
Kenny Pickett got them Burger King hands, too.
Go ahead.
I hope they do it.
Go ahead.
Good.
So, you know, you look at it from a point of, okay, great. Because the Lions do need wide receivers, and they do need a wide receiver.
They need everything.
But they got a stud that's there now in Amon-Ra. St. Brown. That boy is nice. Hey, that boy nice. He going to be a nice piece for them moving on into the future. But let's play devil's advocate here. Let's say, you know, Flues and Poles are like, you know, we're going to go after Deebo Samuel. And the Lions have reached out for Deebo Samuel, too. That's the funny part. Lions and Packers both reached out to San Fran for Deebo Samuel. So I don't think that's going to happen. But
no, Packers don't trade people.
You know, San Fran ain't going to trade Packers shit. I can tell you that now. It's not going to happen. But let's, you know, play devil's advocate here. And let's say, what will it take, right? Let's say, if we're looking at it and we need that stud guy, I wouldn't be too inclined. What if I was the general manager, what I would send for Deebo, which probably would get rejected because, again, Deebo Samuel, the Niners is looking for a return like they got on Tariq Hill in Kansas City, okay? A haul of drafts, right? Draft picks plus players, whatever, whatever, right? But I would be willing to part ways with number 39 twice. Number 39 in Bojack and number 39 in the pick. And next year is one for Deebo Samuel. I would do it. But that would be all I give. I wouldn't give any more. I wouldn't give any more.
Hang up on you.
Right.
Like, Bo, who?
Who?
Bo Jackson?
Who?
Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson? Yeah, right.
Oh, Eddie Jackson.
They'd probably get hung up on, but that would be as far as I'm willing to go. But, you know, it would be funny to see it happen. But, you know, for DK, it could be a possibility. But, again, you know, they fucked the game up, man, with this Tariq Hill move, you know, and for that overhaul.
Christian Kirk.
Paying
him all that money.
And Tariq Hill. And also, I'm sad to say, people, but down there in Miami, that is going to be a shit show. They have Mark Trestman 2.0 down there in Miami trying to coach that team. You thought shit was bad before? Oh, my God. Watch how bad things get now. And you already got Tariq Hill, you know, cracking jokes on the coach. His first media day, cracking jokes on the head coach. So disrespectful. I'd have checked that in the bud immediately. Immediately. Like, bro, you think I won't release your ass?
Well, you can't. You just gave him all the picks and all that money.
I don't give a damn. What about you think I won't release your ass? Or bench your ass? Or hide your ass? Who you talking about, man?
Look at Mike McDaniel's personality, dude. He ain't got that personality. The moment that, like you said, it's Mark Trestman, and not just the way his hair, but his personality. Can you see him discipline over the locker room?
Yeah, tell me about that. This is the same cat who said he don't identify or see himself as black. But rewind the tape back to 2001. What was he doing? Oh, he was straight thugged out then. Had the whole Eminem look going and shit. Cut down hair. Had the choke chain on. Sagging his pants. Like, oh, you a brother then, but you don't, you ain't now, huh? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, good luck to you, young man.
Yeah, that's
my good luck to you.
Yeah, I don't think the Bears. I think they want to win, but I'm watching this wide receiver thing and it's interesting because I don't know, DK not causing a scene.
At all.
Which is perfect.
And you know, DK Fowler played for the Bears too during our Super Bowl run. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. And he was a little boy in the locker room with his dad when we won the NFC Championship. How crazy is that?
Yeah. 2023, we had a whole lot of cap space. This thing ain't probably going to be resolved this a lot. And that's a perfect time. If DK want to get out of Seattle, Bears got a lot of money. If we got our program going in the right direction, snatch him up, man. Debo, same thing. You know, if he's not going. Because if they trade him, they're going to have to sign him to an extension because he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever trades for him, he has to agree to it. So you got a little bit of, he got a little bit of wiggle room, man. So, I don't see the Bears making a trade, though.
I don't either. It's just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. I think they want a first, too, because he's a young guy.
Yeah.
I'm of the mindset, yeah, it's for, you know, playing devil's advocate. What would it take? It's going to take a whole lot, man, to get somebody like that. You know, you got a lot of disgruntled wide receivers out there like Debo, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf. These are all good guys that are really good. They're going to deserve more than $20 million. And at this point in time, it doesn't make sense to pay $20 million, in my opinion, for a wide receiver if we're not adding that piece to get to the championship. You see what I'm saying? So that's the only reason. That's the only reason. I don't think the Bears will pull the trigger because of that. That's one of the reasons why. Now, if we was in a situation where it was like we need a dominant wide receiver and we can have the opportunity to grab one of these guys, I could see them maybe making a move for a guy like that. But, you know, you look at A.J. Brown, that situation, it's been leaked
that's
already.
That's going to get ugly.
$20 million. They offered him $20 million, and they told him, yeah, we know you can get more, but we ain't going past $20 million. So they telling you right then and there, like, we don't think you worth that.
Yeah.
We're not doing it. You know what I mean? And, so
these cats, man, this injury history plays a major role into why people don't want to go over $20-plus million. Your injury history. And that's what's crazy about it. And that's why Debo wants to be traded. Yeah. You're not finna have me banged
when you got
up.
Receivers getting $30 million, though.
Exactly.
The gap is so big.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I go into a negotiation at my job, and if I ask for a raise, I look at the what's the landscape of everybody else? What do they look like? Not everybody at my job. I'm talking about other positions at different companies throughout America. What are they paying their people, right? What are they paying the same dude to do the same work that I'm doing? If the gap is too large, bro, it's time for me to dip. And that's the way these wide receivers are looking at it. The gap is too big. You cannot justify paying me $20 million when this guy's getting paid $30 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the best. I'm not saying I'm on his level, but that gap needs to close a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And the owners are not willing to do that. Because quarterbacks are now getting paid $50 million. So, yeah. You know, this is the NFL now, man. This is the NFL.
And that Christian Kirk thing didn't help.
Sooner or later, we gotta pay attention to how these other teams are doing it. And I'm of the mindset, be patient. Let these other teams create, you know what I mean, the examples of what you don't want to do. Maybe something that works out positive, and then you figure out how to have the best of both worlds or balance yourself in between, you know, as the Bears franchise. So just be patient, people. Don't jump at everything. Don't say, yeah, we need DK. We need this guy. We need that. Because you're going to be paying $26, $27 million to a wide receiver. And you might not, you know, that might not be the best situation.
Facts.
Yeah, also, Christian Kirk got 17. So people be like, I want 20. Why you want 20? Christian Kirk got 17.
18, actually.
18.
Right?
I'm at least $4 million better than that. So that's
you know, Kenny Galladay got 18 and a half
last year. So that's the crazy part. And that's why I'm looking at it, man. The Bears might be playing it right. You go in this draft and come out with two young wide receivers.
Yep.
You know, and you already got Darnell Mooney, who's a young wide receiver. You got Pringle, who's a hungry wide receiver. And you got Equanimee and Satan Brown, who hopefully has some upside to be a depth piece. Yep. They might, that's the thing. You got to wait and see how things play out. What if the Bears, the way the Bears play it, that's how people want to do it, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
Funny thing about it is, we are going to do a show after the first round. We're going to do a show next Friday. Friday, we're going to drop another show. And we're going to try to do it before the draft. But I'm calling my shot right now. Some way, somehow, I do believe David Bell is going to be a part of our roster. Somehow, some way, David Bell and another wide receiver is going to be a part of our roster. But I guarantee this, by Friday night, we gonna have one of our stud receivers. Number 39 is going to be a receiver. I feel it. I just feel it is going to be a receiver, and it's probably going to be somebody that we didn't expect to be there, and they gonna be there, and we gonna go ahead and go after them. But I have a feeling that not only in the third round, but I got a feeling we gonna solidify two receiver spots Friday night.
Yeah,
I just got a feeling that's gonna happen.
A lot of people think we see this every year. This person is a first round. Like, bro, it's 32 slots in the first round. I say this every year. 50 people can't go in the first round. There's going to be 32 people. Somebody's going to fall. There's going to be somebody at pick 39 that should have went in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every year.
All the time.
It's going to be somebody at 45 that everyone thought was, oh my God, I thought he was going to be a top 15 pick.
Darnell Mooney was a fifth round draft pick. And he should have been drafted easily second round.
It happens every year. People just forget about people, dude. I don't. That's why when people say that, well, no, that guy's not going to be there. I'm like, how do you know, bro? We none of us know. It's going to be like, it might be five quarterbacks going the first round. Because that's what people do. People lose their mind and fall in love with quarterbacks. Or when people wait to the second round, well, they like to get the fifth round option on the quarterbacks. That's why quarterbacks go in the first round. Especially late, because they want that fifth year option control. So you'll start seeing right around pick 20, if the guys didn't get picked early in quarterback, they start getting picked. Yeah. They want that fifth-year control. That's why they pick quarterbacks in the first round, people.
I'm going to tell you something else, too. You know, a lot of these teams that you look at, you know, and people are envious of them, like the Bengals, for example. People are envious of them. There ain't no way they're going to be able to keep their wide receivers and Joe Burrow. It's just not possible.
Not all, you know, three. That's why
they're
going
to have to pay Joe Burrow. You know, he done been to a Super Bowl. He's putting up massive numbers. He's going to get paid 45 plus, right?
He got an MVP coming soon, too.
He's going to get paid 45 plus. You got T. Higgins. T. Higgins going to want $20
million. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Jamar Chase, he going to want, you know, if he keep putting up numbers the way he's putting them up, he's going to want $30 million, mm-hmm. right?
He's going to get it, too.
I mean, so it's always going to be a situation where you're going to be able to get somebody in free agency at some point in time. It just depends how early are you going to be able to get them in their career. And right now, the way these wide receivers are operating, they want out earlier because they don't want to be 28, 29 like Allen Robinson looking for that long-term deal and teams not willing to give it to you.
Facts.
So they looking to get out of their deals earlier, and that's why they pitching commotion and fits right now. Like DK. DK don't want to wait till he's 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? AJ Brown, they don't want to wait that long. They want it. No, we want it now. We done outproduced our contracts already. We the top receivers in the game. Y'all know it. Debo knows who he is. You know what I'm saying? These wide receivers, they come out at 23 and you lock them up for 5 years. That means they don't get an opportunity to get money until they 28, 29.
Yeah. They know the young guys coming too.
They're not waiting, bro.
They know them young guys coming too.
Yep.
That's what, like Nez was saying, the 707 leagues, like when we fell in love with Justin Fields when he was in QB1, all these passing leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Where these guys getting all these reps. These guys coming out ready, and they know it. So they're like, hey, man, I'm 23. I need to get paid.
I need my money now.
Because by the time I'm 28, they're going to have a younger version of me trying to replace me. It's almost going to be like running back.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I tweeted that like weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you did.
When that whole situation happened, the wide receivers are starting to become like running backs. Like, you get to that age, the upper 20s, it's not 30. 30 used to be the mark for running backs. And now it's 27, 26 even. Mm-hmm. You get one contract, and that's pretty much it. Anybody else that gets a second contract, you got to be really good. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about the guys who got them second contract. They didn't want to give Le'Veon Bell one. They gave Zeke one, but they complained about it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Gurley one, but they complained about it, end up cutting him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's out of the NFL, and he's only 27.
I think the last person to really get like, probably three was, what, Adrian Peterson?
Yep, AP.
AP.
Yeah.
The last good one that he sustained his greatness.
Yeah.
I think that's the last one.
And he even got hurt. I mean, he tore an ACL. Yeah. But he was just a freak of nature where he was able to come back. That was
still playing. Still out there trucking, dude.
You're right.
Y'all see T.O. catching passes in the fan league? Whatever.
Yeah, man, we seen that.
50 years old.
Why? That's my thing. Like, why? Because all it takes is for a young cat to try to make a name and clock your ass. You ain't never the same again after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm the one that stuck to yo. You know what I'm saying?
You know what it is. They don't care.
Shit. They trying to get to where you were.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So they trying to make a name for themselves.
Like the dude who knocked out Suge Knight 10 years ago.
Exactly. A model. You know what I'm saying? A hip rolling model. Knock Suge Knight out, cuz. For real, a hip rolling model. He had something in his hand when he knocked him out with it, but and ran out the club. But
One dude
Shit was getting knocked out all kind of like 10 years ago. He was getting KO'd everywhere.
Yeah, that's why he ran my man over with the car.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, you little motherfucker. No more, I'm gonna run your ass over. I'm gonna back over you. I'm gonna run you over again. I'm gonna back over you, and I'm gonna run over you again. And I'm gonna go ahead and take off like ain't nothing happened. Like I ain't see you. Meanwhile, it's a whole body. I'm just rolling over.
All on video.
Like, damn.
All
like,
on video.
Vehicular homicide. Like, damn. It got you right on camera, and he's still sitting up in court talking about, I didn't know he was under there.
He passing out.
Like, really?
So you hit you put out? You out here fainting?
Right, you out here killing. Like, man, stop. He
making people drink pee.
Stop.
Hanging people off balconies like Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, a lot of ankles.
Who y'all want in the draft, though? Like, what receiver?
Draft.
I don't know, because I don't know who's going to be there. So yeah. I will have a better inclination on this after the first round. Yeah. If we don't trade into the first round, inclination on this, on who's left behind.
In the first three picks, because, you know, we got pick 39, 40, 80, 71.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what positions, at least, you want the Bears to address with those three plays?
Wide receiver times two, and I would like a strong safety or a free safety. Free or strong safety. Possibly, you know, it could be some good corners in there, too. But, I mean, we good, you know what I'm saying? I would like another corner, and I would like another safety, whether it be free in case we get rid of Jackson or strong. Depending, you know what I'm saying, depending on how things are. But me personally, I would go wide receiver, strong safety.
You got that.
I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll go wide receiver. And if there's another wide receiver that's good enough, I think they'll go for him. It is deep, so I think that the drop off is not that bad once you get to, like, you know, 9-10 wide receivers in down to like 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a, you know what I mean?
Right.
Any of those guys, you never know who's going to really pan out that great, right? They're all talented, but you don't know who's really going to pan out. So I think it'll be wide receiver. If a top guy is on the board available at 39, I think they take a wide receiver and then they move to offensive lineman of some sort, probably a guard. Probably a guard center/center, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody that they can kind of put in either one of those positions. You know, and I think they go from there. Because you did have James Daniels leave, so they're going to have to replace that. So I think it's probably a guard. I don't necessarily think that they have to take a guard that early. I would like them to take one later. But it just depends on what's available at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Do they feel like they need to go ahead and grab somebody that can be used right away? We'll see. But as far as wide receiver, you know, I'm thinking five or six receivers go in the first round. So, you know, if a Treylon Burks falls to us, right? If George Pickens is there or if John Metchie is there, I take one of those three. If I can. That's what I would take. And then you got another second round draft pick. And I would pick another wide receiver if I could. And I'm looking at people like David Bell. You know, I'm looking at Christian Watson if he's there. I'm looking at even like Alec Pierce. We talked about him. And believe it or not, I there's another guy that's creeping up in my, you know what I mean, and on my radar a little bit. There's some work that he needs because he's raw. But Kevin Austin Jr. from Notre Dame, too. I think he's a talented dude. He can play. He's a big body as well. So, you know, those are the guys that I'm looking at. And then in the third round, if we can, you know, if we can push off the guard situation again, I'd be willing to do that. Because I feel like you can get a guard later. I don't feel like you have to take him that early, right? But you know, the Bears and this regime may see it differently because their mindset is trenches. You know what I mean? Offensive line. So I would see them going in that direction possibly. But what I also want is a middle linebacker. And I'm still on that dude from Montana State, man. I'm still on him, that middle linebacker from Montana State. I was looking at his highlight tapes and some of his tapes on YouTube today. And man, the dude, you know, he's got speed, he's got hitting power, he can do a lot of different stuff out there. So, you know, that's one guy that I'm looking at, you know. But I think it'll be wide receiver and somebody along the offensive line though.
Yeah, as far as I don't really, names like you said, Nez, I'll have to see how the draft pan out. But I think some combination of wide receiver, they're going to draft the offensive line. There's a lot of guys in that 2-3 round cluster. I don't know if it's going to be second or third round.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a defensive coach. You're going to pick a wide receiver, you're going to pick an offensive line. They're going to pick some defensive player. It might be linebacker. It may be three technique. Logan Hall, the guy who you're talking about, the linebacker, maybe a safety, maybe a cornerback. I think cornerback might be the bigger thing. It depends on, you know, how they view, what's his name, Thomas Graham, and if they bring in a veteran. But I think they're going to draft a defensive player out of one of those two or three picks because the Eberflus, right? You got to get a coach's guy, whoever he wants, right? So, man, that's all I got. The trash tweet of the week is Dan Wiederer. We already kind of touched on it. Telling everybody to calm down.
Yeah.
That's what I got. Y'all got any other?
Hey, man, that's crazy. Dan Dub. I'm going to call him Dan Dub from now. Right? Yeah. Dan Dub is, you know, back to back.
Dan Dub Dummy.
Trash tweak of the week. I think that's our first back to back, right?
Yeah.
He's a back to back.
He's Dan a back to back. Dummy. Bro. He got the trophy today. He got the championship right now. You know what I mean? Handling his business out there.
Dan Dub Dummy. Ain't that something?
Putting out trash tweets every week.
3D. Hey, Dan Dub Dummy. 3D.
3D. One other thing, and Devorey mentioned this, strong safety. This is the dude that I want, and I would take him in the fifth round because I think he'll be available in the fifth round. And that's Smoke Monday from Auburn. That's who I would take as strong safety.
I like him, too. I like him, and I like the strong safety from Penn State. I can't think of his name right now, but I will have it next week. But, yeah, definitely. And I also think I got Alec Pierce, cousin or brother, in my DMs talking about he wants to take on my bet that Pierce would be selected. Said he's a top three receiver in the draft.
Top three?
Top three?
Hey.
Yo.
I love the confidence.
I think that's a family member. It got to be a family member because his last name is Pierce. And he has Alec Pierce all up and down his timeline. But when he said a top three receiver, you know, instantly I was like,
get the fuck out of here.
Ain't no way in hell, but whatever. I mean, you know, if that's the way you want to do it, that's the way you want to do it. But
I like Pierce, man. I like him, but I don't know about
top three. Hell no.
No.
Top 30. Not top three. You might want to add a zero behind that. But yeah,
I like
definitely
Pierce,
top 30.
I wouldn't be mad at if we got Pierce in the second or the third round. I wouldn't be mad at it. I really wouldn't.
I think he might be a third rounder. Who knows what these receivers do? You know how I draft.
Yeah,
exactly.
We'll see.
He's crazy, but he fits the profile. I think the Bears do need an X. And the only reason I keep saying it is because Matt Eberflus says it. So, like, people, you need to listen to what the coaches say. Exactly. If he keeps saying X receiver and U tight ends and three techniques, you probably want to pay attention. You know, that's what I think. I think they need that guy that can get off press coverage. That can go up and get the ball to complement Darnell Mooney and Byron Pringle. You know, that was a trash tweet. I already gave a shout out to New Regime is here for the shout out for finding that little article that had the breakdown of what a U tight end and what a Y tight end their roles are, because Bear fans need it. So y'all got any shout outs? That's my shout out that I got.
No shout out, man. Just shout out to the usual suspects, man. Everybody that rocks with us, we appreciate y'all. And, you know, you interact with us and things like that. We appreciate y'all listening, man, tuning in each and every week. And we're going to try to do more of these, man, straight up.
Yes, sir, Ski.
Take
especially
it easy.
The draft, man. Especially the draft. We'll see y'all, all the draft hype. We'll talk to y'all. We'll talk to y'all in the aftermath. Talk y'all off the ledge or hype y'all up. It depends on what we get. You know how that goes.
Facts.
Boy, we'll draft George Pickens, bro. Woo!
Right.
Dez Twitter's going to be in shambles.
All right, nuts.
That's all I got for this week. Peace.
All right.